Small businesses are the cornerstones of our local communities, and small business owners are hardworking and passionate people who are chasing down their ambitions while there's a lot on the line. So, let Verizon champion your small business dreams. Whether you own a small business, are scaling one, or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon business expert. Plus, Verizon business experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon, well, they've got you back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
So why do you want to learn a new language?
I'll tell you why. Because ¿dónde está el baño? Can be a very important question at times. You know, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. Fast track your language acquisition with immersive lessons designed to teach you to pick up languages in a natural way. I love the fact that I can go from my laptop to my phone to pretty much anywhere and learn the language of my choice. Not to mention, I'm bringing my communication skills to new heights. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, StarTalk Radio listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/StarTalk. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/StarTalk today.
Welcome to Star Talk, your place in the universe where science and pop culture collide. Star Talk begins right now. This is Star Talk Sports Edition. Neil deGrasse Tyson here, your personal astrophysicist and sports enthusiast. That's why we do Sports Edition. And I got with me Gary O'Reilly, of course. Gary.
Hi, Neil.
Former soccer pro over in the UK and current soccer announcer. It's great. Thanks for sharing some of your announcing time with us over here in Sports Edition. And of course, we got Chuck Nice, my other co-host. Now, Gary, you were cooking up something for this installment.
Yes.
You got some recipe that you didn't share with me in advance. So let me hear what you got going now.
All right. So we've gone back to an old recipe from our Playing with Science days and brought forward a show about the Skyhook. The Skyhook isn't like a missile from the original Star Wars movie or anything spectacular like that. It is the signature shot from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, NBA legend and martial arts expert. Now, this shot...
Wait, just to be clear, he's not just any old martial arts person. He was trained by one of the best.
Mm-hmm. That being Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee, of course.
And starred in one of his movies. Now, there's 38,387 points, which is the record all-time points tally in NBA history. Kareem owns that. He hasn't played for 30-odd years, yet he still owns it. That's how lethal a shot this skyhook is. And with you talking to him, you break down the mechanics, the geometry, and the physics. And he understood all of that.
That was quite the conversation that I had. I distinctly remember that. I mean, he was sitting in my office and his legs... I don't know if I should interview his legs or him. You know, what's the difference?
He's 7'2". The dude's tall. And the thing is, the story behind the story is very Star Talk for us. So we found two of his teammates from the LA Lakers during that 80s decade, the most successful decade in Lakers history.
The dynasty,
The dynasty, Showtime. And we spoke to Jamal Wilkes and Michael Cooper, and we unlocked stories of what it was like to be part and parcel of that whole sporting franchise. Now, there's a lovely little human interest story. One of the players, Jamal and Michael, their grandmother has glaucoma and she can't see the TV as well. So the player decides that he will do something on court that will enable his grandmother to see that it's him playing on court. So well, I'd like those people to listen then they'll understand what that is. And if it doesn't touch you, then go and get yourself checked out because you might just have a heart of stone.
Okay, or no heart at all.
It's maybe that.
Well, as they say, Gary, let's roll tape.
I'm Gary O'Reilly.
And I'm Chuck Nice.
And this is Playing with Science. Yes, indeed. And to help us take a trip down memory lane, we asked Neil deGrasse Tyson to hook up with the man himself while we wrap with former Lakers superstars and teammates Michael Cooper and Jamal Wilkes.
Yeah, we need to do this. And first, to kick things off, joining us by video call, we are super excited to have Jamal Wilkes, better known as Silk. What's up, Jamal?
Hey, Chuck. How you doing? Hey, Gary. It's a pleasure to be with you guys today.
Jamal, the pleasure is us.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Just to talk to any of the guys who were around that organization at that time is such a thrill for us because you just reinvented the game, let alone what Kareem did on his own.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the dynasty that you guys had and the type of talent that was brought on to this NBA team, you look at, just look at you. I mean, come on, Rookie of the Year, right? If I remember, three-time NBA All-Star, if I remember, nicknamed Silk because we know you had the stroke. I mean, this team was always just chock full of superstars. All of you, I mean, no matter where you look. So, you know, before we get into how it is to play as a superstar on a team of superstars, you know we're talking about Jamal. So let's take, we're talking about Kareem.
We are talking about Jamal.
But we're also talking about Jamal. And a little bit later, we're going to talk to Michael Cooper, who I'm sure you are familiar with. But let's take a look at a quintessential Kareem clip so that we can see exactly what we're talking about when we say how he changed the game of basketball with the Skyhook.
Let's do it.
Magic the distance gives to Kareem. Slam. Dunk.
Save.
Still saved it. Throws it to Kareem 20 feet out.
Play. What an athlete
Kareem
he is.
Kareem is his dribble. I'll say nobody else could have kept their balance.
No, nobody could have caught up with it.
Inside it goes to Kareem against Perry. Back to Cooper. Back to Kareem. Swing left. Shoot right. From 12. It's good. Kareem has got 11.
Nestled the net.
Tickled the twine. 48-48. Clark's got the ball. 50-48. The Lakers trail it. Michael Cooper with the ball. Cooper dribbling at the top of the key. Magic getting a long rest. Ball into Kareem. Going to swing left again and shoot right from 13.
Boom. And there it is again.
And Perry says, come on, ease up, big fella.
And there he says, ease up. So, you know, the thing about the Skyhook, and you could hear it from the announcer's POV, it's the same move, but it just seems to be indefensible. Swing left, move right, up, boom. Can you talk about what it was like to witness somebody who's has an indefensible shot?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, when you talk about Kareem, he was a perfectionist. And I tell people, had he been 6 feet tall, he'd have been a great basketball player. He was just so fundamentally sound at everything he did, and he could bring a level of concentration that was just otherworldly. But the Skyhook, in particular, it's the most devastating offensive weapon in any sport that I've ever seen.
Okay.
And it was a very simple shot, but he mastered it. It was just an amazing experience to see that shot day in and day out. Not just the games, but practices too. I mean, he practiced with all of us. He didn't take off practice. He was just a leader by example. He wasn't the most talkative individual back then, but he always led with his example. It was just a sheer delight to play with him.
So Neil deGrasse Tyson actually caught up with Kareem recently to chat about the legendary Skyhook, and we have a clip of their conversation, so let's take a listen.
What percent of your 38,000 points were Skyhook points, would you guess?
I'd say three-quarters.
Three-quarters?
Yeah.
Ooh.
But, you know, I learned, everything I learned, you know, had to do with learning the mechanics of the shot, and shooting a bow and arrow, because you figure out what the drop is all about. you know, what the arc is all about. And once you got that figured out, you become accurate. You're a marksman at that point.
So you're a basketball marksman?
You have to be. Well, if you're going to be successful, you know. And I led the league in field goal percentage a number of years. I think that was really my success. I had a successful shot that they couldn't block. That's what enabled me to endure.
What's intriguing about this hook shot, I think Bill Bradley famously was quoted saying that the hook shot, your eyes are not on the ball or on your hand or anywhere near your arm.
No.
So that there's a sense of where the basket is relative to the ball if you have enough experience on the court. So you don't actually need to look at where the basket is. And you must agree with that because you were successful in a hook shot.
You don't have to know where the ball is. You got to keep your eye on the basket, but you don't have to have your eye on the ball.
Okay, but that requires some musculoskeletal connectivity.
Yes. That's why you practice.
That's the quote of the interview. That's why you practice.
That's why you practice. So, Jamal,
that
when
just
you...
just bears out what Jamal was saying.
I know, you said that. So, yeah. Was everybody aware of, you know, Kareem's work ethic? Because I have to tell you, I remember watching you guys play, and because it was Showtime, everybody had such an emphasis on the fact that there were all these big personalities, these big superstars on the court. You didn't hear anybody talking about the practice. You didn't hear anybody talking about the work ethic. Mm. You didn't hear anybody, like when they talk about LeBron James today, they always talk about how hard he practices and how much he's trying to drive the team. You heard that a lot about Michael Jordan. Oh, this guy, he practices his work ethic. And you guys were a dynasty and all they talked about was like, oh, the show was in town. It almost made it seem like you guys just walked out on the court and it just happened like that. Talk to me about like your routine as a team to get to that place, because I'm sure there's a lot of hard work involved.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Chuck. And I couldn't agree with you more. They all talk about the work LeBron and Michael Jordan, but no one talks about that with Kareem. And, you know, it may have to do with the fact that he's 7 feet tall. It seems like people just assume you're automatically good in basketball because you're tall. And that's why I say that even if he were 6 feet, he'd have been a top, top basketball player. I mean, this guy was just really, really good at everything. And I agree. I couldn't agree with you more, Chuck. No one ever said that about Showtime. No one ever talked about how hard we work. I mean, I remember when we played the Celtics.
Yeah.
They were blue collar guys.
They were.
And we were Hollywood.
Right.
But we worked hard. Our practices were as competitive as our games. And I mean, Kareem did not take practices off. He worked just as hard as all of us did. And it's unfortunate that gets overlooked, and it's all about the glitz and the glamour, but not about the preparation, the planning, and the effort, the hard work that we all put into it, including Kareem.
All right, let's play a little bit of fantasy basketball. How would the 80s Lakers fare in the NBA today with that pound-for-pound talent? Come on, you must have been asked this question before. Look at that smiling face. Look at that face.
Okay, Gary, I'm going to ask you a soccer question.
All right, by all means. Because I there isn't a day goes by when I don't get better.
I know. I understand that, Gary. I got that. It's hard to compare different eras.
Right.
And we all do it. And the fans love it. And the media loves it. And it drives interest in the game. I get that, but I just have to say it's very difficult. But we would have fared very well. I mean, today, number one, we had everything. We had the ultimate inside game, and we had the outside game. Now, we weren't shooting three-pointers back then like they do today only because it wasn't in vogue. Had it been in vogue, we'd have been doing it too. So, I don't want to make predictions. I think we have some great teams today, some great players today, but we would have held our own. We'd have done very well.
It's funny to hear you say it wasn't in vogue to shoot three-pointers back then because during the time that you guys were playing and Magic was running the point, and I remember all the kids who played basketball wanted to be like Magic. And so it was all about ball handling. It was all about no-look passing. It was all about how fancy and how good I could look getting the ball on a feed or faking a feed and going to the hole. Like, so it's funny how
guys do. They replicate.
Yeah, that the game changes based on who the stars of the game are at that time. And then the next generation emulating those stars, they actually change the game based on what they have seen.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct. It is interesting. Yeah, Magic was a game changer too. And you know, Magic was just an incredible freak of nature, you know, being 6'9", point guard, handling the ball the way he did, seeing the floor the way he did. And those no-look passes, before he came, you frowned down upon him, but he delivered them consistently that they became part of the game. And I think we're seeing that today with the Warriors and Steph Curry and the step back and going left and right. But getting back to Kareem, and your point, Chuck, about how hard LeBron and Michael were, it really is unfortunate that the hard work he put in gets overlooked with the skyhook, which is just a thing of beauty to watch. Whether you like basketball or not, it's a beautiful thing to watch.
And speaking of the skyhook being a thing of beauty, we have another clip where Neil deGrasse Tyson is talking to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and they kind of break down the physics of the skyhook. And so it's a thing of beauty not only to look at, but it's a thing of beauty in the world of physics, too. Let's check it out.
When I look at a basketball game, part of me sees it as a physicist does. So there's a ball, it's round, there's a hoop, which is bigger than the ball. And there are all manners of shots that come at it from different angles, different trajectories. And your sky hook, your hand at fully extended, it's got to be like 8 or 9 feet in the air. I mean, did they measure this?
When I shot the sky hook, my hand was about between 10 feet and 11 feet in the air.
Because you're also jumping.
Yeah, I'm also jumping.
Okay, so now the rim is 10 feet up.
Exactly 10 feet.
So the ball is basically going down. So the physics of this, of course, is the more the ball can just go down,
right,
the greater
chance
it has for going in.
Right. So you want to shoot a high arcing shot that drops.
That drops.
You don't want to just get it to crawl over.
Yeah, if it just crawls over, then there's the cross section. Changes.
Much smaller.
Right, right. I don't know if people know that. So
you
I can
get
take it. This circle and angle it. The cross section to you is smaller now.
Right. So you want to get your shot should have a high arc and come straight down.
Are you thinking about that physics when you were taking that shot? Because you had your physics class.
I understood what I wanted to do. So I had all the ballistics and everything worked out.
You see, Jamal, did you ever get the feeling that Kareem just had everything under control?
When I saw the skyhook, I mean, I just marveled. I would think of Picasso. I would think of...
Wow.
All right, I would think of John Coltrane. I would think of Jimi Hendrix. I would think of... That's the only way I could think of it because it was, you know, it was so... separate and apart from what anyone else was doing at that time, especially the centers, and no one's done it since. And I can't believe that, you know, all these 7-footers now want to shoot 3-pointers. No one wants to shoot a sky hook anymore. So it was just then, even then, watching it, I knew, and I think most of us had an idea that, you know, this just wasn't a shot. This was, you know, art, music on the highest level. And it was just you know, I mean, I already said it, a thing of beauty. I can't express it any other way.
I'm happy with that. Absolutely.
I can't think of a better compliment than to call somebody what somebody does, Coltrane.
And it a thing of beauty.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah,
that's right, Chuck. Yeah.
It does not get any better than that. So what we're going to do right now is take a quick break. And Jamal, you can stand by with us, right?
Yes.
Fantastic. So look, guys, we got more Jamal Wilkes coming your way, more Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, more Sky Hook, more everything. Stay tuned.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
Welcome back. I'm Gary O'Reilly.
Chuck Nice.
And we are playing with science. Let's get straight to our next clip. The hook shot. Yes, the famous hook shot made famous by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But what about the hook shot today? Let's find out what the big man has to say.
For me, the hook shot is unjustifiably accurate. I took hook shots my whole life, and I was pretty good at it. Meadowlark Lemon and the Globetrotters, Harlem Globetrotters. That was, he'd go the other end of the court and just throw the thing up. Swish. So why doesn't anyone shoot it anymore?
I think the hook shot has fallen out of favor because all the kids that are learning how to play the game want to shoot three-pointers. They don't want the ugly two-point shot down there in the paint. Getting bumped. They want to look real pretty out at 35 feet with something dropping in. Everybody's saying, ooh, and it's 3 points.
It looks pretty good in the hand, doesn't it?
And it's 3 points, you know. So it's the three-point shot has changed the game. That's basically what it is.
We've got former teammate Jamal Wilkes with us, and we're going to explore that. Jamal, thank you for staying with us. Why did the skyhook disappear off the map? What happened?
Yeah, it's unbelievable to me. I think much of it has to do with the hype of the game now. They on the newsreels, all the young kids grow up watching the slam dunk. Mm-hmm. You know, the popularity of the slam dunk contest, along with the 3-point shot. You know, guys, big guys now, guys coming over from Europe are valued because they can shoot the 3-point shot as well. And that's all well and good. I think, you know, the inside game will come back when someone wins a championship, and then they'll all start emulating it again.
But, exactly.
You know, for the life of me, I don't understand why any 7-footer doesn't have a hook shot and manipulate the skyhook? I don't have an answer for that.
In this last clip, Neil deGrasse Tyson wanted to know how many three-point shots Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had taken in his career. Oh, sit down for this one. Let's find out how many.
I shot 13 and I made one.
So your whole career, or you had 10 years, if I did the math right, 10 years of your career was in the presence of the three-point line.
Right.
I think that's right.
10, 12, something like that.
Okay. Yeah. So you had 13 attempts.
Right.
And you made one.
I made one.
So of your 38 billion points, 38,000 points, three of those were a three-point shot.
One three-point shot. And the rest were all free throws and two-point shots.
So they don't need the big man outside the three-point line. So what the hell were you doing?
I was giving my team reliable shots close to the basket, which forced the defense to collapse a little bit and gave them more room on the perimeter.
But when you go to the perimeter and take a three-point shot, what were you thinking?
I'm probably going to be taken out for taking that shot.
Was it, come on, guys, give me a chance here, please.
No, no. And the one shot that I made, the ball, I like bounced out into the corner, and I went and got it, and nobody came to guard me.
Okay.
So I stepped back and said, okay, I'll shoot this one, and I made it.
They should have, like, bronzed that ball and gave it to you.
So, Jamal, if he'd shot and missed, would he have been given a hard time?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Being Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was no protection, right?
Oh, no, absolutely not. Not in that situation.
Not in that situation, right? And that's so funny. And I'm sure if you took a three-pointer, people were expecting you to make it. If Kareem takes one, they're like, okay, well, we'll see. If he misses, he's like, well, you know, he's not supposed to make a three. But if you miss it, they're like, hey, what's up? What's up? Right.
If I could give Jamal Wilkes a magic ticket, get you entry to any place to go and watch a basketball game, who would Jamal Wilkes go and watch today?
I would watch the Golden State Warriors. Being a former Warrior, I cut my teeth with them, and they're playing such great, great basketball right now.
Yeah.
And they're playing it the right way. You know, they're getting, and by that I mean, you know, they're getting everyone involved, and they're all sacrificing for the good of the team.
Yes.
Yeah, I would go watch them.
And do you see any similarities between Golden State and Showtime? Because when you said they're all sacrifices for the good of the team, mm-hmm. they have a lot of superstars on that team. And then with the addition of Durant, they got one more superstar. Like, so, you know, what's it like? Just give us a sense. What's the mindset of when you're a superstar, that guy's a superstar, that guy's a superstar? What has to be the team psychology in order for you to win? Because I'm a Sixers fan. I remember we had a team full of superstars when I was a kid, and it was a disaster.
Yeah, right. No, right. Just because you have a team of superstars, and I won't hold that against you, Chuck, for being a Sixers fan.
Well said, Jamal. Well said, sir.
Yeah, well, you know, Julius is a dear friend, but first of all, it's very humbling. You know, you walk out and you have 6, 7, 8 superstars. Well, first of all, you bring your A game to practice in the games every day because someone's waiting to take your spot.
There you go.
It's very humbling. It's very humbling. And then, you know, the competitive factor comes out. And the challenge factor comes out. And, you know, you want to do your best to be your best, but you know you got to do your best to get minutes on the floor, too. So it just brings about a collective humility, and then you let all the horses go.
Nice.
All right, Jamal, thank you so much for your time. So it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you about your time at the Lakers, and of course, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So thank you once again. We are going to take a commercial break, but it won't stop there with the Lakers loving. We have another one of Kareem's former teammates. This time, Michael Cooper will be with us on Play With Science. Do not go away. Yeah, there you heard it. Back in a minute.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329, during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Welcome back. I'm Gary O'Reilly.
And I'm Chuck Nice.
And this is Playing with Science. And today we're in the middle of our Game Changer series. This particular show about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and his legendary skyhook shot. And joining us by video is Michael Cooper, the legendary Michael Cooper, the Secretary of Defense.
Yes.
The man who is now head coach of the Atlanta Dream of the WNBA. Michael, what a pleasure to have you on board, sir.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. And Gary, I was going to tell you, preach on.
Keep it going. Sit still. There's a lot more going to come.
Yeah,
sir.
As a matter of fact, we've got nothing but praise for you, my friend, because, of course, Kareem being who he was, and this show is about, basically the skyhook and the science behind it, and of course, Kareem himself, and you played with him, and being on the court with him, a soldier at arms with him. But you yourself have quite a few highlights on the internet that still live about Michael Cooper. And the one thing I remember about you specifically is that when you came on the court, the fans would all go, "Coop, Coop." And then the announcers would say, and the fans showing their appreciation for Michael Cooper, not booing, by the way, they're saying Coop.
Do you know what? Watching it in the 80s in the UK, the socks.
The what?
The socks.
Oh, the socks.
The crew socks, the high top socks. Yeah, I always remember those. Such a standout thing. Cool. But we got a clip, right?
Yeah, we got a clip. Take a, just for those of you who may have forgotten, here's a little taste of the magic, not Johnson, the magic of Michael Cooper.
Not going to guard the inbound passer. Now here they send a man out on it. Now they change the man and put Stockton on it. Stockton a short man so Coop can get it in over him. The Lakers are out of timeouts. No timeouts left. The ball to Magic. Dribble drive. Down the middle. Out to Coop. 18-footer. But there's still 7 seconds. And the Lakers have no timeouts left. But listen to this crowd on Cooper's heroics.
And there you have it. Just a little taste of what Mr. Michael Cooper used to do all the time.
Yeah,
all the time. How's that feel when you look at that?
You know what, Chuck and Gary, that was my only shot I hit in that series, and it was a big shot. And you know what, that goes to show you that the Lakers Showtime era wasn't built on one player; it was built on many players. And for Magic to have the confidence, and you know, the team knew I was having a shooting slump, but for Magic to have the confidence in me to kick the basketball out there is what Showtime was all about.
Yeah.
And it was a shot, and I was finally glad to hit a shot, and if that was the one that was going to win that series for us, I'm glad it was that shot.
When you got drafted by the Lakers, what was it like the first day you walk out on court with them?
The first astounding thing is when I got drafted by the Lakers, came into training camp, and training camp used to be at Loyola Marymount University. And I walked into the gym, and who would I see out there shooting sky hooks was Kareem. And I just, my mouth was open, and I said, hey, this is the guy I watched, because growing up in Los Angeles, you saw him at UCLA for 4 years, and he's got a chance to see him with the Bucks and win a championship there. So finally, here he is with the Lakers. And I just remember, I couldn't stop staring at him. And then slowly, people started coming in, and then there was Jamal Wilkes, winning a championship with the Golden State Warriors. And then finally, the person that I admired a lot, because I had watched him the last 2 years, was Norm Nixon. I was like, this little guy is that good, that big. And, you know, it was an eye-opening experience. And I think any rookie going into a camp, no matter what team you go to, they have those stars on the team. And it's shocking. But you know what? You got to get over that. And Jerry West was a coach at the time. He said, Coop, he almost kind of like slapped me back to reality and said, come on, man, you got to play. So it was fun watching him.
You know what I think is funny is that you called Norm Nixon a little guy. I did a TV show with Norm a little while ago, and standing next to him, he looked like he was taking his toddler out to get some ice cream. But
you must be very small, Tim. Norm's a little guy. And again, I'm 6'6", so it was a funny thing to see.
So you'd have turned up day one, right, early, because you want to impress the organization, correct?
Yeah.
Kareem was already firing skyhooks.
Out there early. And that goes back to his conditioning from, you know, back with John Wooden when he was at UCLA. They get out there, the bigs would get out and shoot their hooks and get their work in. Then the guards would come out, and then finally the whole team would come out for practice. So he just followed suit, and that's what he knew. So he came out there. He was the first one I saw. When I walked into the gym, he was the first person I saw shooting sky hooks. But you guys, you know what? I want to touch on something, Gary, you had mentioned a little earlier. You had talked about our socks.
Yes.
My socks, I held my socks up high when I was in high school. The reason why I wore long socks, I wore my strings out, and I wore 2 sweatbands because in a high school game of the week in 1974, my grandmother was going to see us play. And she had glaucoma, and she had to sit real close to the TV. And she used to say, hey, you have to do something to differentiate yourself so I'll know you from the other players. So that's what happened with the long socks. Little did I know they were going to play big benefits, because in the 80s, you know, we were in that Daisy Duke era where the shorts were really, really
high.
So my socks kind of like even my body out a little bit.
Thank you for giving me that backstory. That's really, really touching.
Very, very cool.
Okay. As I called you just before we came on, the Secretary of Defense.
That's right.
How did you cope with Kareem in practice with those skyhooks? Or did you say, why am I bothering?
Did you, as a defensive player of the year, did you ever have to, when you guys are practicing, defend Kareem? And did that help your defensive game?
Chuck, no. And I'm glad I never had to defend him. I messed around down there on a double team, but no, that was Michael Thompson.
Okay.
Jim Jones, those guys, they caught those sky hooks, but it was a thing to see. But in practice, again, playing on the purple team, because the gold team was the starters,
right.
It was fun, and it was always a way of how we're going to stop this. How can we stop this shot? And it was an unstoppable shot.
Right.
Green just kind of went through the motions because he knew nobody could stop his shot in the game of basketball at that time, and especially nobody on our team. So he would just kind of go through the motions and shoot jumpers, shoot left-hand hooks until it was winning time, because Pat Riley said, okay, next point wins the game, losers got to run 10. Well, we knew we were going to end up running because nobody could stop him.
That's funny.
There's clips where Kareem is speaking to Neil deGrasse Tyson about his understanding of the science that went into his skyhook. Did you ever get a feeling with him in the locker room that this guy had everything calmly in the right place at the right time? Was he as organized as that back then in the 80s?
Yes, he was always organized. Kareem was a quiet individual.
Mm-hmm.
He came into the locker room, and you know how some teams will have the locker room banner, and there'll be somebody funny telling jokes, and people will be different things. Kareem always sat, and he sat next to Jamal Wilkes, both of them being from UCLA, and Kareem was always reading a book, some type of book, usually an autobiography of African-Americans, some kind of book he was always reading, mm-hmm. really but every now and then, and people don't notice about him, he probably was one of my funniest teammates. He liked to play practical jokes every now and then. Didn't like them played on him, but he'd play them on
you. Yeah, ain't that the way?
Everything was always together with him. And once we got closer to the game, he would put the book down, and he would just kind of like stare. And one day I asked him, I said, Cat, what do you think about it? He says, Coop, I'm visualizing the game in my head, what I have to do. And it was always like the first 5 to 7 minutes. So that was his way of getting focused and getting into the game. But you could tell from then that everything he did, he had planned out in his mind, whether it went right or wrong, but at least it was planned out. And he always came out and perfected his plan.
Michael, before we let you go, and we thank you for your time, I have a simple question. Just how good was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
People ask me that all the time, and there are a lot of great players that have played in the NBA. And you got to go back to Will Chamberlain, mm-hmm. Bill Russell. And people ask me, Coop, if you were starting an NBA team and you had all the players that's ever played this game,
yep.
who would you pick? Kareem would always be my pick. And the reason for that is he had an unstoppable shot. At his prime, y'all remember, Kareem led this league in rebounding. He led the league in block shots 1 year. And the most important thing is you had a big guy like Kareem that could pop out on the perimeter, but you couldn't foul him. Kareem shot like in the mid-80s for free throw shooting. And, you know, the way things are going now, they have the Hack-a-Shack, which started, and now they put these centers on the line. And, you know, basketball is not fun when it's played that way. But
right.
I'm going to go with Kareem. But there are many, many great ones. And I might be dumb, but I'm going to start with the big guy, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Wow.
Would you pick yourself in your own franchise?
I think so.
Good man. That's the answer I was looking for.
That's the way it's supposed to go. Hey, Michael, thanks so much for joining us, man. We hope you'll come back and say hello. And thanks so much for taking the time and spending with us right now.
For sure, Chuck. And Gary, thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure, sir. An absolute pleasure. Thank you. So,
well, that's our show, man.
That is it. Hope you've enjoyed it. It's the first of our Game Changer series, and I think we couldn't have picked a better start than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So stick around. We'll have plenty more, I'm sure.
Yeah, and special thanks, of course, to Jamal Wilkes and Michael Cooper for being a guest on the show.
And thank you to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for being such a standout basketball player, and of course, the great man himself, Neil deGrasse Tyson, for spending that much time and getting such great thoughts out of him. I'm Gary O'Reilly.
And I'm Chuck Nice.
And this has been Playing with Science. Hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to your company very, very soon.
Well, I hope you all enjoyed that bit of memory lane there, where the three of us in different times interviewed different basketball players to make this one show that Gary baked in his oven afresh. All right, Gary, always good to have you there, man.
Pleasure, man.
Neil deGrasse Tyson here, your personal astrophysicist for Star Talk Sports Edition. Keep looking up.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.